In our study of the evil trinity, we shall see this trio play what I believe to be an important part in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. I said in the introduction, as God has his holy trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Satan has his evil trinity. You have Satan the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And in order to understand them, you have to return, I believe, back to chapter 12, and I want to read verses 3 and 4 to you again. Do you mind if I take this jacket off? I'm going to ask you all for just, this is a short Bible study. I'm going to ask you for just a few minutes to draw near to God. Take every, listen, Satan has tried to distract me today, and Satan will try to distract you today as well. But this may be the most important message that you will ever hear. And if you're lost today, if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, I ask you to listen extremely. It's a critical hour, and I ask you to listen with your heart and with your ears. Verses 3 and 4 in Revelation 12. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now here we have Satan. He is called a red dragon, Lucifer. He came to earth. And why did he come to earth? To do one thing, to destroy, to devour the works of Jesus Christ. Listen, Satan wants to... Do you not understand that Satan wants to destroy you? He wants to knock your block off. And I want to remind you, those of you who are doing anything at all in this ministry, if you're doing anything at all for Jesus Christ, you are going to be engaged in a spiritual battle. Our world is at war. But I remind you of what David Walker said only a few months ago, is what it's what we can't see. It's in the spiritual realm. It's this angelic warfare. It's what we can't see that impacts what we do see. Would you agree with me? Verses 7 and 8 tell how the devil will have war in heaven with Michael and his angels. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So what does this passage of Scripture tell us? Satan is going to be cast to earth to bring torture and violence upon the earth's inhabitants. Listen, do you really believe Satan is in hell right now? No, he's not. He is a mighty fallen angel. And his whole purpose for living is to destroy the works of Jesus Christ. But Satan is not the only one. Chapter 13 tells us of two other characters. These two beasts that will arrive on the world scene, these are not animal beasts. But the Bible calls them beasts because of, listen, their animal-like appetites for world power. Certainly we could think of such power-crazed men as Hitler and Stalin as power-hungry beasts. The first of the two beasts is, go to Revelation 13, the beast out of the sea. The beast out of the sea. If you're taking notes, this will be the Antichrist. He will be Satan's Messiah. Look at verses 1 and 2 in Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who gives him power? The dragon, Satan, gives him power, and his seat. And the Bible says in verse 2, great authority. Stop reading right there for just a moment. The sea represents the Gentiles. And although some believe him to be a Jew, and I shared this with the church a moment ago, there is some evidence that points toward him being a Gentile. We don't know with a great deal of certainty. Let me remind you of something. Satan wants to counterfeit everything that God does. Go back for just a moment and think about Moses. When Moses went before the Pharaoh and he said, I told my wife, no, it was at the early service. I said, I was going to tell, I want to watch, I love Charlton Heston as Moses. And what was that bald-headed guy who played, Moses, Moses. This is nothing but a parlor trick. You know, then Moses cast. I know Moses couldn't have been a Baptist because, man, I just hate snakes. And Moses cast down his rod. What did it turn into? A serpent. But it doesn't impress Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, Moses, I will not let your people go. This is just a cheap parlor trick. And so what do the magicians of Moses, what do? They cast down their rods, and what do they turn into? Now, if I was in that palace, I would be getting out of the palace about now. Three serpents on palace floors, I've got to get out of there. But what does the serpent of Moses do to the serpents of Pharaoh?
Swallows them up.
Now, remember, I said that everything that God does, Satan wants to counterfeit. Just as we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you're going to have the devil, you're going to have the Antichrist and the false prophet. And I believe, I'm using some notes from Dr. R.G. Lee. Dr. R.G. Lee believes that the Antichrist is going to be a Gentile. I don't know about that. I'm glad that some have more evidence and they can come to those conclusions. We don't really know for sure. I know that I won't be here. I won't be here to know for certain. But if Jesus was a Jew, then I'm of the opinion that perhaps Satan is going to use a Jew in some way to bring about his intended plan and purpose for the world at that particular time. Now, the beast comes out of the sea. We know that he's the Antichrist. We know the sea represents the Gentiles. Those heads, how many heads? Do you remember? Did you read that? How much have you been able to retain? How many heads? Seven. The seven heads refer to wisdom and the ten horns to power. Probably a 10-member federation in Europe. Today we already have 10 nations that make up what you and I would call the European common market. Crowns represent power or worldwide authority. So, he will appear, Satan's Messiah. He will seem to have all the wisdom and power to rule the world. And the Bible is very clear, the world will fall down before him and worship him. Let's look at his power. Verses 3 through 5. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now remember, I'm preaching right now at a place in the Bible that we would call the mid-tribulation point. We're 3.5 years into the tribulation. Where's the church? We're gone. We're not here. We're with Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, in this passage of Scripture, it becomes very evident that the Antichrist will be killed. Or there may be, because the jury is still out on this, I don't know that God would give an angel the power over life and death. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who is the creator of the universe? Who created the angels? Who created you? God did! And so, because we know the devil is a counterfeiter, it may appear to be a mortal wound, a wound unto death. Do you understand what I'm saying? And before this Antichrist, before this man dies, Satan will heal him. Satan will resurrect him from the dead, or what appears to be death. Now, the world has rejected the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, if you're a visitor here, I want to teach you something. Everybody else remain silent because you already know the answer to this question. What is the most important doctrine taught in the Bible? The most important doctrine taught in the Bible is the doctrine of the resurrection. Listen, when Muhammad died, he died. When Buddha died, he died. But Jesus did what no other man has ever been able to do. On the third day, he rose from the grave. You're going to die one day. You don't think this doesn't get me cranked? You don't, man, this is like Tennessee last night beating up on California. I talked to Brother Stone, man. He said there was shouting going on over in Houston County. This is better than Tennessee winning a national championship. You're going to die. You're all on death row. And yet when we're young, we tend to live our lives as if we think we're never going to die. We're going to die. A 13-year-old boy only a few weeks ago, it broke my heart. I brought it home. I showed the picture to my wife. I'd already read the story, Sheriff Lewis. I'd read the story, and I didn't even know this boy. And then a day or two later, they have the picture of these little boys in the obituary column. And you see that little boy. That he was 13 years old. And what was he doing? He was out at 10 or 10:30 at night. They were on their skateboards, and he crossed a busy street, and he got hit by a car, and he died. And it broke my heart. Because many of us who, he might have done all the living, well, he did. Whatever it is that God intended for that young boy to accomplish, it was over at 13. Jesus died at 33. Methuselah was 969. There is no promise that you're going to live to be 969 years old. You see, whatever it is that we're going to do for God, it needs to be done now. I don't want to live to be 969 years in this body. Can I get an amen? My wife last night, I mowed 5.5 acres, and she said, are you ready for your pills yet? And I said, pills? She said, what do you want, ibuprofen or Tylenol? She knows me well. I heard her on the phone. She said, your daddy has already gone to bed. He's got to preach in the morning, and he went out and mowed 5.5 acres. I told him not to do it all in one shot. Brother Chuck was there, though. He helped me. Brother Nelson, I broke down. I sent out a distress, an SOS, and I had everybody coming to help me to mow that grass. But we're breaking down. You know, when I look in the mirror, can I just be as transparent with you as I can be? I mean, I looked in the mirror today, and I thought, man, I'm getting older. Do I comb my hair back, or do I part it? You know, we got a young military guy. They drove, I don't know, 20 or 30 miles to be here. And I looked at him and I said, the last time I wore my hair that short, I was sitting in a patrol car running radar down on Riverside Drive. I had it. And just like that, it fell out. Do you understand this is the only life that you're going to have in this body? You are going to have another life. And the resurrection, you see, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, my preaching right now is in vain. Because Christ rose from the dead, rose from the grave. We've placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to do for us. I come from a denominational background that teaches that you can never know with great certainty that if you die, you're going to go to heaven. That's a bunch of garbage. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you saved? Why are we hearing preaching like this all over the country today? I don't understand it. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Are you ready to die? The only way to be ready to die is to be saved, to be born again. The world rejected the resurrection of Christ. But listen, they will gladly embrace this resurrection. Remember, everything God does, Satan tries to counterfeit, including the resurrection. The whole world will admire Him, and the Antichrist will cause men to worship the devil who brought Him back to life. Satan seemingly has always wanted the world to worship him. I fasted last week. I don't even know that I share this with my wife. I fasted last week, and you know why I fasted? We don't hear a lot about fasting. I can tell you now why I fasted. I didn't make a big issue of it last week. I fasted because I asked God to, I wanted to be holy. We were teaching on leadership. You know, there are so many pastors today. You know, do as I say, not as I do. I want to be like Jesus. I want you, when you come to this church, some of you drive great distances. And I reminded a young couple today, you don't come to this church to hear what I think. If you want to know what I think, or if you want to know what I believe, we'll go downstairs, or we'll wait after the service. I'll give you as much time. You can ask me, what do you believe, Pastor, about the doctrine of the rapture? What do you believe about this or believe about that? But right now, you don't want to hear what I think or what I believe. You want to hear from God. And we're all being tempted and tested and tried. Satan wants to destroy you. Jesus fasted for 40 days. I'm not even going to tell you how long I fasted. But you need to fast. We all need to fast. We want to be holy before God. There's a passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews that reminds me that only the holy will see God. You know, I read that the other night and I just wept because I realized that I'm not holy. In me, there is nothing good. The Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. And yet the Bible says only the holy will see God. How many of you want to see God? Raise your hand. How many of you want to see God long enough for Him to say, you know what, you blew it down there. You did it on your own. You were confirmed in the church. Maybe you were baptized. Maybe you joined the church, but you never had Jesus in your heart. You may have professed to know Him, but professing and possessing are two different things. And we have a lot of people who come to church. All of you right now are professing something. All of you to me, outwardly you appear very religious. That's why Nicodemus, who was a very religious man, went to see Jesus. But he went to see Jesus at night. And then he tries to compliment Him. And Jesus just sidesteps all of that. Jesus said, Nicodemus, did you know that unless a man is born again, my breath is in your hands. Father, I trust in You and only You, because as Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Our Redeemer is Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who intercedes on our behalf on a daily basis. Only the holy will see God. There's a problem there, because none of us are holy. Our righteousness in God's sight is totally filthy. We need an arbitrator. We need a mighty counselor. We need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Can I ask you a question this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you were to die right now, would you just raise your hand? Do you know with great certainty that you would go to heaven? Would you just raise your hand quickly? Nobody looking around. I'm not going to come to you. Hands all over. Would you raise your hand if you're not sure? I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. Would you just simply say, Pastor, I don't know. I know that one day I am going to die, but I'm not really sure where I would spend eternity, and I just want you to pray for me. Is there anyone like that in this body of Christ? Would you raise your hand very quickly? I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands went up. Listen, nobody looking around. Those of you who raised your hands, you can be very sure. What do you mean, Pastor? I can be sure. I quoted a passage of Scripture in John chapter 3. It's one of the greatest passages of Scripture. It's God's love letter to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Now, what does that word believe mean? Some of you raised your hand, so I want you to listen. Everyone else, you just pray for those who raised their hand. To be saved means, A, you have to admit you're a sinner. I mean, it may seem simple, but there will be a lot of prideful, arrogant people who will stand before God, and they'll say, I'm all right. I went to church once in a while, and I believed in your Son, but I never really asked Him into my heart. A, you admit you're a sinner. B, you believe the only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. You place the weight of your trust and your faith on Him and Him alone. Think about the thief at the cross. Remember, there were two thieves, and one thief said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. That took faith. Jesus said, today, Thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then I believe, as Dr. Billy Graham teaches, you need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And the Bible says, Thou shalt be saved. You have to want it. You have to ask for it. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on your heart right now. Father, save those whose hands were raised, those who may be unsure. Help them, oh God, to be sure. Save them, Father, for only You can. Have Your sweet way and will in our invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.